We're going to continue, Ritz Hashem, our study of Pachad Yitzchak for Pesach, and we'll try to cover Maimer Tezayin and Maimer Yudzayin. We begin with the Shmon Esrei, the Nusach, the Matbea Shel Bracha, as it was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and we look at the Bracha for Refuah. And we find something very interesting. In the Nusach HaBracha, we say, Ki Sehilasenu Ata. And this piece of three words would seem to be appropriate for all the bakoshos. When we ask Hashem for whatever we ask for in the 13 brachos and tzoyos, why is this added specifically to our bakosha for refuah? Now, in order to answer that question, let's take a step back. On the night of Pesach, within the framework of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we sing the praises of Hashem. And l'chora, at face value, this is what we call Sipur Shvachav Shel Makom. We are praising Hashem. And that's a problem. Because the Gemara in Masechet Megillah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis tells a story about someone who got up and he started being Meshabech Hashem. He used every adjective and every description that he could come up with until he finally exhausted his lexicon. And the Gemara says to him, Ad Kan, is that all you can say in praise for the Bari De Alma, for the creator of the world? And the impression you get, and we'll see this a little bit as we go through this mimer, is that the Gemara is opposed halachically to Sipur Shvachav Shel Makom. Once you start, you can't finish. Who is mortal man to start praising and describing the greatness of Hashem? So how do we do this within the framework of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? And the one who asked this question is the Maral Miprah. In his Sefer Gvuros Hashem, right there at the beginning. And the Maral Miprag, based on this question, came to the conclusion that our premise is incorrect. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not Sipur Shvachav Shel Makom. We shouldn't identify Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with praising Hashem. But rather, he says, Sipur Tovosov Shel Makom. What we engage in on the night of the Seder is to retell the long list of great things that Hashem bestowed upon us, and we describe the chesed, the compassion that He had for us. But we cannot possibly say, according to the Maral, that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a classical case of speaking and praising the Shvachav Shel Makom. Because the Gemara establishes, as we mentioned earlier, Samsininu Lekulo Shvachi Demorech. Samsinu means Siyamta, have you finished? And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Lemi Noel Lesaprik Vurosav Shel Hashem, who is the one who is fitting, or it's suitable for him to sing the praises of the greatness of Hashem. Rak mishi yashmia kol tehilaso. The pasuk says, Miyam alel gvuras Hashem yashmia kol tehilaso. David HaMelech asks a rhetorical question. Who is the one who can speak of the gvuras Hashem, describe His greatness? Only someone who could be mashmia kol tehilaso. And for sure, that no one could fit that rank, can fit that description. Human man is incapable of singing God's praises and all of God's praises. We don't have the kelim, we don't have the utensils to do such a thing. And therefore, better not to start. And here I want to mention what I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, that to be misaper shvachav shel makom, you need a special license, a special matir, because who is man? Mi'amalo gvuras Hashem. And either we do it because it's in the framework of Talmud Torah, we read psukim in Sefer Tehillim, or perhaps we're allowed to do it in order to gain an introduction to tefillah. And in different occasions, he had different answers to the question: how do we recite Psukei Dezimra? How do we recite Birchas Kriyat Shema? All of which are full of Shvachav Shel Makom. But be that as it may, in the case of Sipri Yetzius Mitzrayim, for one, the Maral completely erases the concept of Shvachav Shel Makom. There's no Sipur Shvachav Shel Makom. The framework of Haggadah is not Ritzui Shevach Divrei Shiros V'Tishpachos. That's not what it's all about. We only pass on, so to speak, we transmit to our children all the great things, like we have, for example, in Dayenu, God did this for us, He did that. And once again, if I permit myself a digression for just 1 minute, a parenthetic insert, the Gemara has a case where one of the Amoraim asked another Amora, what does an Eved say to his master if the master frees him? And he says he has to praise his master. And the Amora responded and came, Patra, knew you exempted us from Manishtana, meaning that's the essence of the Haggadah and the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzius Mitzrayim. In fact, the precedent, so to speak, the original source for reciting the parasha of Arami Ovid Avi on Leil HaPesach, where does that come from? And the Rambam says, V'dorish is a parasha kula, seems to be integral to the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzius Mitzrayim. Well, the paradigm for that is the parasha of Mikra Bikurim, which is all about Shvacho Shel Makom. But we're going to have to say, according to the Maral, that we take a different twist and a different attitude. When a person brings his Bikurim, he's got to enumerate all the Tovos, all the Chesed that Kosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon him, what Hashem did for him. And that's what we're going to borrow. We're going to attach, you know, shall we say, copy and paste into Sipri Yetzius Mitzrayim. It's not Shevach, but rather it is Sipur Tovosov Shel Makom. We're enumerating all the great things that God did for us, and we're expressing our sense of gratitude. But now, swinging back to the Pachad Yitzchak, he suggests that maybe we can accept the, shall we say, straightforward definition and the premise, as we understand it, that Enochi Nami Sipri Yetzius Mitzrayim equals Sipur Shvachav Shel Makom. And with fear, he moves ahead, so to speak, and takes the lead, leaving the Maral behind. He says that Yetzias Mitzrayim is different. And in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can indeed be Misaper Shvacho Shel Makom. How is that so? Why isn't that a violation of the rule of the Gemara in Megillah of Saimisinu Lekulo Shvachi Devarech? Miyam Aleil Gvurus Hashem Yashmiya Kolti Lulaso. So here, he quotes that part of the Gemara which we didn't mention before, and the Gemara gives a mashal. That same sugya. Mashal Lemelech. Imagine a king who has in his possession a dazzling presentation, a dazzling array of kalim, of different utensils made of gold. These are the most expensive metals in the whole country. And someone comes along and praises the king. Wow, look at his silver utensils. In other words, when man, in the Nimshal, when man praises God, he always falls short of the praises of Hashem. And in essence, when man endeavors to praise Hashem, and he can only reach a certain level, and describing the greatness of Hashem as Kesef, when Hashem owns Zav, that in a sense detracts from the greatness. In the case of the Melech, by saying, wow, he's got beautiful silver, you imply that he doesn't have anything more than silver. It's really almost like an insult to the king. However, that makes sense if the king owns these Kalim for his own purposes. He went out and, utilizing, shall we say, the kingly treasury, he purchased these wonderful kalim that now become, you know, owned by the state, owned by the kingship, and he uses them for his own purposes, and you go ahead and you praise him not for gold but for silver. That's a hafchasa. That really detracts the shvach by saying he's got kli kesef and that's all he has. However, supposing the king purchases utensils and all sorts of physical artifacts and objects simply to show his glory, what's called lehispayer bahem, and he displays certain kalim at certain times, and then he expects people to say, wow, that's amazing. Look at those dazzling kalim that the king owns. You know, it's like a museum. In the case of a museum, the proprietor of the museum, the docents or whatever it is, they expect each person as he walks by and sees what he sees in the museum to be mispired, to say, that's really amazing. And every person, according to his own ability, will praise what he sees. And if that be the case, even if a person doesn't reach the ultimate praise, but nevertheless on a subjective level, this is the best he can do, that's exactly what the king wants. Because his purpose in displaying these dazzling objects is lispar behem. That's what it means, midas hisparus. When a person wants to be mispire, he wants others to be amazed and to say, wow, he really has the kavana that it all depends upon every individual. The observer, the spectator will, according to his talents, his abilities, and what he perceives in the object, he'll be mispire. He'll be amazed by that. And whatever expression he brings forward, he formulates, that itself is, from the king's perspective, an achievement of his goal, of the king's goal. And therefore, the final conclusion of this presentation is, there's no taina in a case of hisparus, if the tehillah, if the song of praise, doesn't reach the great level that really reflects the true value of the object. Because in hisparus, when the king is interested in hisparus, he knows that he'll never be able to expect that every individual will reach the entire, you know, the highest boundary, but rather it'll be according to his subjective grasp and the abilities that he has to praise the king. That's what the king wants. And how does this apply to Yetzias Mitzrayim? If we look in the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, take a look in Shmos Ches in Pasuk He, the Pasuk says, Hispire Eli. This is exactly what Hashem wants. Moshe tells Paro, Hispire Eli. Or take another Pasuk, which is a little bit later, fast forward to Shmos Yud, and there it says, Leman tesaper esa sheris alalti. Here, clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael, tells Moshe to tell Paro, that the Eser Makos, the entire process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is meant to elicit a response, to see the greatness of Hashem and describe His greatness. And perhaps we can add here the words of the Ramban in his Perush on Parshas Bo, where he says that one of God's goals here is to evoke from man a response of praise, to express the greatness of Hashem as he perceives it. And if that be the case, if that's what Hashem's goal is, that's why he's bringing about this very slow but very miraculous and stupendous process of Yetzias Mitzrayim step by step with the Eser Makis and the Kriyas Yamsuf, then Hashem is expecting that a person won't be Mashmiya called to Ilos in an objective sense. He won't be able to reach the ultimate in expressing the greatness of God, but he'll be able to express his own call to Ilos. So whatever is appropriate for him, for each individual on a subjective level, that's the goal. Hashem wants to educate, so to speak, the people, each individual member of Klal Yisrael, to see the greatness of God, and maybe even the Mitzrim to see the greatness of God, to describe the greatness in the terms, in the language that they can describe it based on their subjective abilities. And now perhaps we could swing back to the Bracha of Refa'enu in Shmon Esrei that we began with. The Bracha of Refa'enu has a definite link to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's based on a pasuk. Again, we're fast-forwarding to Shmos Tezvav. The pasuk says, Kol amachla asher samti Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. What is this pasuk teaching me? That Hashem says that I will heal you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, from all the machlos that I imposed on the Mitzrim, all those diseases and all those makos. And therefore, when we recite Refa'enu, what we add to that bracha, to that bakasha for refuah, is a very interesting explanation. We have a basis for asking Hashem for refuah, and that is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because part and parcel of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the divine promise for refuah for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Kisi Lasenu Ata, we're going to sing your praises, Hashem, as we do with regard to Yetzias Mitzrayim in general, and this dimension of Yetzias Mitzrayim, namely the divine promise that we will be healthy, that Hashem will take care of us. And therefore, this midah of Kisi Lasenu Ata really belongs to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was a process that Hashem initiated from the get-go in order to achieve the objective of L'Ispair U'L'Ishalel, to evoke the response of praise. And this might explain the famous Notrikun of Pesach that we mentioned in the Shia the other day, that Pesach is Pesach, that we should get involved in speaking and more speech, and more speech, using our ability to talk and talk on Pesach. Why? Because all the Nisim, all the Osos, and all the Mosim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the great stupendous miracles that undermine the laws of nature, this was the first time in the history of man where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm bringing this about into the world for the purpose of Hisparus, so that you should praise me, so that you should describe my greatness. And the pasuk says in Nehemiah, Perek Tes, Vatas Lecha Shem Kayom Azeh, referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim, you made a great name for yourself, so to speak. You with a capital Y. There's no taina of, you know what, how can we be Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that violates the rule of Mi Amalel, etc. And therefore Pesach is the Peh, that Sach, that goes on and on to be Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's no limit. It's endless. Every person, according to the bounds, to get to all the top bounds, the outer boundaries of his subjective tefisa, according to what he's capable of doing. And he doesn't have to be worried that his kilus, his song of praise to Hashem, is only that of kli kesef, of silver, and in any way falls short of the ultimate of kli gzav, There's no insult here. Hashem is interested in his parus. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. The refuah element, as we said, is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. And kol machla sher samti Mitzrayim lo asim olecha. This is no trick on the significance of Pesach as a Pesach. I'd like to continue now with Maimer Yud Zayin in the Pachad Yitzchak. And we begin with Parshas Bechukosai. And even though that Parsha is full of klolos, nevertheless there's one important bracha, and this is at the end of Vayikra in Perkavav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, "V'nasati mishkani besochechem v'lo sigal nafshi oschem itchem." This is the divine promise of the Torah that if we fulfill the tnai of im bechukosai teilechu, Hashem will bestow upon us great brachos, and there will be a mishkan in our midst, and Hashem will not find us disgusting, lo sigal nafshi osanu, they won't find us repulsive. And that's the pasuk v'nasati mishkani besochechem. The Ramban makes a comment on this pasuk, and he says, lo yadati ma tam bazeh, I am perplexed by this pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should offer a divine promise that if we observe all his mitzvahs and we fulfill his will, he will not find us repulsive and disgusting. And if, on the other hand, we violate the bris, we had a commitment to fulfill his mitzvahs, then v'yoseinu netzos gedolos omar lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim, if we violate the bris, and we do na'atzos. Na'atzos are kind of rebellions against God in a very obtruse way. He calls it ni'otzos gedolos. And nevertheless, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim. The Ramban says that we have a pasuk in Navi that says just the opposite. The pasuk says in Yirioh HaNavi, Perek Yudalet, Hamaos Ma'astas Yehuda in Betzion Gola Nafshecha. It sounds like there's a stira here. On the one hand, Hashem is saying that since we are shomer his mitzvahs and we fulfill his ratzon, lo yimas osanu, he will not find us repulsive. And yet, he goes ahead and he says that even if we violate the bris, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim, but the Navi says on the contrary, gola nafshecha. So perhaps we have to understand a little bit of what the Ramban reveals here. Again, it's a sod mi sisrei haTorah, one of the secrets of the Torah. And maybe we'll get just a little taste of it. He says, Yitochen Mishkano besochenu v'nefesh asher mimena yovo ha-mishkan lo sigal osanu kekli shemagilin oso beroschim av b'chol eis yu begadecha levonim v'chadosh. A very cryptic statement in the Ramban. And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that he will establish his Mishkan amongst us, his presence, he will reside in amongst us, and a nefesh that will be mena yava Mishkan is lo sigal osanu. He will not reject us like a kli. Lo sigal is miloshon hagola. You take a kli, a utensil that has absorbed within it blias isur, and you put it through roschim. That's hagola. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo sigal osanu. He won't put us through that terrible experience to remove our roschim. But rather, he will relate to us as if our begadim, b'chol eis yu begadecha, begonim, levonim, v'chadoshim. That's a pasuk in Koheles, Perek Tes. That's the Ramban. Now, again, what is the Ramban saying? This is a very difficult piece in the Ramban to translate. But the Pachin Yitzchok says that it seems from the words of the Ramban that this secret that he's revealing is somehow mechuvan, it's directed in its primary sense to the connection between, on the one hand, the Havtacha, the promise that Hashem will give us His Mishkan, and on the other hand, the Nefesh, which is mentioned in the next part of the Pasuk, V'lo Sigal Nafshi Oschem, which is a Nefesh that perhaps on one level deserves Tigal Nafshi Eschem. But getting back to the main question, the Ramban, what kind of promise is the divine being presenting here? A promise of reward to say lo sigal nafshi osanu. I mean, that really belongs to the klolos, you know, to say lo sigal nafshi. God saying, you know what, I won't be goel nafshi oschem. Goel is something that belongs to divrei klolos. And now Hashem is saying, I will not bring about this klala, this curse, and that becomes integrated into all the beautiful promises that appear in the avtachos. This is something very strange. So perhaps we can get something out of the Ramban without really revealing without shedding, illuminating the full bright lights on his secret that he's alluding to. But nevertheless, there is one point from this Ramban that perhaps we could take to shed a light on this parsha, that within the context of the Avtachos, Hashem says, I won't bring about a klol. That's very strange. But leave this on the side for a moment, and hopefully we'll come back to it later. I want to call your attention to the essence of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the kishkis of it, so to speak. And that is based on the Gemara in Pesachim, on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, the obligation, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzrayim is Maschil Bignus Umesayim Bishvach. We begin by saying Avodim Ayinu. We tell a sad story about our nation, how low we were as Avodim. That's called Maskel Begnus. And we end with Shvach. Before we speak about Shvach, before we speak about the ultimate redemption, we speak about Avodim Ayinu, that's going to one day, according to the other day, Mitchila of the Avodah Zorah Hayu Avoseinu, that we have our roots back in the day in idol worship. And the Maral, in his Gvuras Hashem, towards the end, in Perek Nun Beis, has an explanation, an insight into this whole mechanics, this process of Maschil Begnus U'Mesayim B'Shvach. Let's read the words of the Maral. He says, V'kasher Tovin, Od Teda Ki Ashvach Shekodim Lo Gnus Hu Yoseh Shvach. That praise that comes after, following Gnus, after we see the terrible situation, and then we describe Hashem saving us from that, that is a much more profound Shvach. It's on a much higher level. Notch it up, so to speak. Kimo Shetiresh Hayom Kodim Lo Laila. You have Laila first and then Yom. And you appreciate the Yom after going through the Laila. And that is an expression in the Gemara in Shabbos, Tafayin Zayin, Mikar Chashucha V'Hadar Nahora, that you started with darkness and you end with light. Mipnei Ki Ashlemus Eina Nimtza B'Aschalosa B'Olam Hazeh. You don't start from the get-go with shlemus, with perfection. That's not how it works in Olam Hazeh. We gradually move towards perfection from a state of imperfection. V'kasha yagia lanimtza shlemus, when a created being achieves perfection, I efshar shetielo osa maila b'tchiloso. We know for sure that he didn't start from the groundbreaking with that level. Basheri madrega elyona, because madrega elyona can only be achieved after we go through, like when you climb a ladder, the lower madregos. V'zeh nimshach el havayas ha'olam hazeh. That's essential to the nature of existence in this world. That from its beginning, from its tchila, it doesn't have a mila, but rather it begins with the opposite, with shiflus. And from the aschola b'shiflus misale, it goes up, it climbs, it ascends b'achron until finally reaches its perfection. V'lo haya kedaya olam hazeh lekabel ha'mayla hazos sheyiyah ha'or b'tchiloso. And the world is not suited to receive the great level and the illumination of that special supernal light from its beginning, from its get-go. Ki ha'or hu mailas hamitzius, because the light is the ultimate in reality and existence. V'lachein yukdom lo ha'layla, we begin with night, and then, and only then, do we get to the light of day. Lokach tover zem moral maile lokis asher hoylem tchila tchila gnus, and we demonstrate this great maile lokis, as he calls it, some sort of divine attribute, by first showing and proclaiming, declaring, describing the lowliness of our situation, of the nation of Israel, but Hashem gave us the potential to climb, to ascend, and to reach geula, to reach a level of perfection. This is a summary of the main point of that chapter in the Maral's Gvuras Hashem. What comes out of what we understood is that the Shevach can only come about through Gnus B'tchila. And in effect, the Gnus B'tchila, the beginning of Gnus, Maskel B'Gnus, is related to the time of Olam Hazeh, to the very flow of time, so to speak, in this world. Asher Bo Orev Kodem Leboker, Erev, excuse me, Kodem Leboker. That the time, the way time operates, and the way the march of time, so to speak, begins with Erev and only then goes to Boker. And that's embedded, of course, in the story of Bereishis, of creation, Vayerev Vayvoker. And once again, to quote the Gemara in Shabbos, Meikara Chashucha Vahadar Nahora, begins with darkness and then gets to light. Avol bioso azman asher olav omer sanavua ki hu yom asher yom v'lo laila. When the Navi describes the ultimate end of days in Zechariah Perek Yudalit, that there's no yom and no laila, and he describes it as a period of time in which v'hayaleis erev yia'or, that even what would normally be according to the clock, the evening, will also be lit up like the hour of day, then the Shevach, the process of praising God, is no longer dependent upon Maskel B'Gnus. Maskel B'Gnus is appropriate for the world as we know it today, but the world as it will become at the end of time, when there's no Yom and there's no Laila, there's no Choshech, there's Or even at night, we don't have to go through that process of Derech Gnus. And now perhaps we could swing back to the pasuk that we started with, Kilo Sigal Nafshi Eschem. What does it mean, Lo Sigal Nafshi Eschem? And the Rabban adds that we won't be like a kli shemagilin osoberoschin, a utensil that's immersed in boiling hot water, but rather niyeh b'chol eis levonim v'chadoshim. What this means is, that this move forward, ascending as it were, going up and up the ladder, will be Telech Derech Guf HaShevach Atzmo. We won't have to move from Gnus to Shevach. In other words, this divine promise, which relates to the ultimate Geula at the end of time, is promising, is revealing a great secret, that ultimately we don't have to go in the way of, you know, starting with Gnus and then getting up to Shvach, masking this from Simon Shvach, but we can just simply go straight to Shvach. We don't have to go around about and circumvent and make circles around with Gnus first. And this belongs to us in Lavo, to the ultimate end of days, where there will be a whole change in the Seder Hazman, where the Yom will when we say Ayom Holi Chachar Alayla, that's only appropriate for this world as we know it today, but in terms of the Seder Hazman, Liyosid Lavo, it'll be Halayla Holech Akre Ayom, and therefore we can be Maschil Bishvach straightaway. And that's what the Ramban means, that we don't have to remove through this process of Roschim the Blias Iser, so to speak, and begin by, in a sense, purging ourselves or confessing our sins and confessing the fact that we are lowly individuals, and then finally going through the process of Hagola, Lo Sigol Nafshi Eschem, we're in a state of Begadim Levanim. It's all clean, it's all pure. We don't have to go through Maskel Begnus. We can jump straight away to Mesayim the Shvach. And now the Pachad Yitzchak quotes this famous Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. And in Shar Sheni, at the beginning of the second Shar, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and we'll try to understand his words, V'yesh ala boteach b'Hashem, if a person aspires to the midah of bitachon, lahochil b'ma'of tzvakaso, ki yia choshech sibas ha'or. In other words, even at dark moments, he realizes that that darkness is a cause, is going to generate light. And here Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the pasuk in the Nach in Micha, Al tismichi oivasi li ki nafalti kamti ki eshe b'choshech Hashem or li. And Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Yalkut in Tehillim on this pasuk and says, Il mole nafalti lo kamti. Il mole nafalti lo kamti means, had I not fallen, I wouldn't have gotten up. Il mali yashavti b'choshech, says Rabbeinu Yonah, lo haya ar li, I could not appreciate the light. And this is really a presentation that strengthens everything that we've said until now. That the shvach is when you raise someone who's fallen, he's gone through the gnus of nefila, that low state in which he's down, 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 he's in the darkness, and that state comes before or introduces the Nahora, the light, and that's the Seder of Maisa Bracious in this world as we know it, Vayi Erev, Vayi Voker. And with regard to this Yisod, the Pasuk says, V'lo Sigal Nafshi Oschem, which means, Lo titztarech od knesis shel lomer loy vasa lo lesamech nefilasa lashavta b'choshech ki b'chol eis yiu b'gadech levonim v'chadoshim. That ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we will be free, we'll cast this yoke from our backs. We don't have to speak about our failings, our deficiencies. We don't have to be sameach b'nefila. We don't have to appreciate the nefila in order to appreciate the light at the end of the tunnel. We don't have to go through this process of darkness and purge ourselves of evil. There'll be light. It'll be b'chol eis yu b'gadecha levonim v'chadoshim. That new seder of zman, it'll be a continuous experience of b'gadecha levonim, of b'gadecha chadoshim. And let's take this a step further. When we speak about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we have to begin by telling Gnus, Lesaper B'Gnus, all this is appropriate for the story itself. How do we fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the method? It's called She'ela U'tshuva Ki Yishalcha Bincha Lemar. There's a question and then there's a response. Even to the extent in which that if a person is alone at the Seder, he asks himself a question. It should be Derech She'ela U'tshuva. That's the ofen, that's the way, the method, and the mode of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That itself really reflects this whole concept of Sipur HaGeula, that we understand and we appreciate that perfection is an outgrowth of deficiency. When one is lacking, he's deficient. Then he gradually climbs and climbs from the darkness to the light. It's a shlemish that's tzomcha mitoch achisoron. Now, we apply the principle of Torah's She'elo Tshuva. It's so appropriate for this experience of maskil b'gnus, mesayim b'shmach, of chisaron and shlemus, of choshech and or, we start with a question. The question itself indicates that we're lacking knowledge. We cannot comprehend. We're in the dark, so to speak, as we say it. Kol asogash and iskabu tochene b'tar ha-torah shal sofek. Wow, it's great to experience ha-torah sofek when a person is confused and then he experiences clarity. I remember when we used to prepare for Shia in Chavrusa, then we came in and we heard the Rebbe Shia and the presentation. All of a sudden there was clarity, there was light from the darkness. We had so many questions, a myriad of questions that flooded our minds. When the answers come as a pitaron, as a solution to our kashas, now our shvach is that much greater than if we'd just be a hasaga. We start with one concept and we go on to another concept. That kind of study, that kind of educational process does not allow klita, it doesn't allow the concepts to penetrate into our souls. Because we never started with a suffix. We never started with a kasha and a question. But tonight, on the night of the Seder, we start with a question. And anyone who knows about education, anyone who tries to teach, understands that it's inspiring when the teaching comes in the form of an answer to a kasha. That makes so much more of an impact on the person who is being taught, on his emotional experience. He needs that answer, and therefore when he gets the answer, it penetrates. It really has an impact. So the tnuah, the movement, is towards shleimus, but through chisaron. I need that answer. Someone has to be poter this baya for me. Someone has to resolve the problem and find the solution. And therefore, the svara, when it comes as an answer, is something that engenders the highest level of shevach that we can possibly have. And that really is, in a sense, a corresponding mirror image of maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, in its very substance, is a shevach that begins with gnus, begins with akasha, and ends with shevach. It ends with a piruk, with an answer to the question. And the halach is that even if two talmidei chachamim are sitting one with each other, or even a chacham who sits by himself, as we mentioned earlier, the Gemara Pesachim Kuf Tezayin, It should be b'derech she'ela u'tshuva. And if this be the case, then let's be further, you know, medagdig, we should be meticulous about reading the brisa of Sipi Yitzius Mitzrayim. The Gemara tells us, based on a brisa, that mitchila ovdi avodah zarah v'sein v'achshav kervanu amakum l'avodaso. It's known that the Rambam indicates in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim that even our forefather Avram Avinu, the great Avram Avinu, was involved originally in Oved Avodah Zarah. That's what he was exposed to. That was the culture in which he was raised. And Nimtza ki karov ze atzmo nase derech shelu tshuva. When we discuss mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we're talking about a process of she'elo tshuva. What does that mean? Harei maimar Hashem Yisparach Asher al yodo nasa korov hazeh. In other words, we begin with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we finish with Achshav Kirvono Amokom L'Avodoso. Let's think for a moment about Achshav Kirvono Amokom L'Avodoso. That korov, that kiruv, that process, in and of itself, is a derech she'elo tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at what point makes this transition of kirvano amokom l'avodaso? When is the most radical change from avodah zarah to the worshipping of Hashem? That is at the moment that Hashem reveals Himself to Avram Avinu, lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha mi'beis avicha l'artz asherecha. Leave behind you your moledet, your base of vicha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram Avinu that he has to separate, he has to cut the umbilical cord from his base of viv. But notice that in the Tzivri of Lechcha there's a certain element of ambiguity, of darkness, if you will, the lack of clarity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even name the Oretz. He just says, Ela Oretz Asher Aleka, you know, I will show you the land. And obviously, Avram Avinu has to cut himself off from Beis Aviv, but where is he going to? And he's going to have to come to some yediyah as an answer to a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just tell him up front, this is the land that you're going to. And Avram Avinu himself, when he's mesaper al pray the shalom beis avis kavus al vodes mog, he says ki kara kiruv zed nasa hu derech shelu tshuva. And Avram Avinu says, and this is a pasuk in Breishis Perek Chaf, kasher hisu osi elokim mi beis avi. That itself is an expression of Avram Avinu's lack of indication that there was a lack of clarity. Hisu osi. Hisu means we were taken away. Not holicho, he guided me there. Lucho, or he took me there, but hisu. Hisu implies that there was some sort of question, there was some sort of confusion. And the mahalach here of the kiruv itself, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Avram Avinu closer, is really pasach begnus v'siyam b'shvach. It's also the same kind of approach. When we tell the story of the kiruv achshav kirvano l'makom, we are really beginning the process of maschil begnus v'siyam b'shvach. We began with ovdei avodah zarah yuvaseinu, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us el haaretz asher areka, hisu osi elokim mibeis avi. Hashem takes me away from the darkness of Avodah Zarah, but we're not yet there. We haven't yet arrived at the clarity of the light. It's going to be a long, tedious process until finally Avram Avinu discovers the land, Ha'aretz Asher Areka. And I'd like to share with you another insight of the Maral in the same Sefer, Gvuras Hashem, but towards the beginning of the Sefer, in the 12th chapter. And he writes back regarding Yosef. You remember the pasuk at the beginning of Shmos, Vayomas Yosef v'chol echov v'chol ador hahu. Yosef dies, and the entire generation, all of his brothers, says the Maral, us, at that moment, Habadim Shaloayu Nimnim Velo Olu B'Mispar Hayu Parim V'Ravim Miot. The children, or the grandchildren, started multiplying at a very fast rate. Ki Adover Sheno Sholem V'Eino B'Foel Holech U'Mishtokek Latzeis El Apoel. All those who are not counted until this point, they were sort of in the shadows. Now they came forward. They have a desire to play a role. And when Klal Yisrael was Shivim Nefesh, that number 70 is a very well-defined Shlemus, a circle that completes itself. And they didn't need to multiply more and more. But when these 70 Nefashos died, when that first generation that entered into Mitzrayim perished, then they were lacking in Shlemus. They were imperfect. Hayu Misnoayim, says the Maral, Mi'od Latzeis El Apoal. Now it's a chance to create something new. Ki Ashlemus Yisrael Hi B'Shishim Ribui, and they're ultimately going to become, in the perfect state, 600,000. V'Kol Dover Misnoea El Shlemuso V'Hayu Parim V'Rav Mi'od. Now, when the lacking Shlemus, when the original generation is gone, Dafka, at that moment, there's an impetus, there's a movement to push forward towards Shlemus. And that expresses itself at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, in Parim V'Rav Vayifritzu, Vayifru Vayifritzu. Ad Kan, this is the Maral. What we get from this Maral is an emphasis that even though the number 70 and the number 600,000 are two different, shall we say, madregos, two different levels of the building of the nation of Israel, one on top of the other, nevertheless, as long as the first madrega was there, the number 70 b'shlemus, that shlemus would prevent the next stage of climbing towards the ultimate Madrega of Shishim Ribui. Only after the Madrega of Shivim Nefesh is Batel Umavutal, with the Pasuk Vayomas Yosef Chalecha Darahu, only then is the path paved for reaching a new Madrega, a new impetus to move forward towards the level of the highest Madrega, of Madrega Elyon of Shishim Ribui, to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. Achreich and Isbadla Madrega Shivim Nafesh, Hischil Tokef Aliyah El Madrega Elyona. And this is something that we have to emphasize when we read this Maral. Because the process by which a person as an individual, or a nation as a collective entity, acquires perfection is a move that has to be begun and has to be pushed forward from chisaron, from deficiency, from lacking, and then we move towards shlemus. It's possible, logically, that the shlemus of the lower level will actually present a barrier, will be a minia, it inhibits the possibility of moving towards the ultimate higher level. We first have to go through a process of, you know, when you plant something, the seed becomes rakuv, it becomes completely null and void, and then starts smicha, and then we push forward in the process, the glorious process of creation. And the pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi says, Divrei Torah, Kruim Heim Michshalah. What does that mean? It sounds like he's saying there's some sort of Michshol over here, some sort of barrier that trips us up. Says the Pachad Yitzchak B'nei She'ein Adam Omed Al Divrei Torah, Ela Imkein Michshal. But the Gemara Gittin interprets the pasuk in Yeshaya that a person cannot really understand the Torah until he trips up, until he fails. Out of the failure, as we said before, that from the Nefilah comes the Kimah. So too in the process of understanding and grasping the Torah, we have a nichshalba. First, we don't understand. The Torah overwhelms us, we're confused. And that kishalon, that failure on our part, is really another expression or example of the original generation of 70 nefesh. And that 70 nefesh has to go through the process of nullification. Only after Vayomas, Yosef, V'chol Adar Ahu, etc., when the original situation and Shlemus is destroyed, it's broken up, then begins the period of Arivya process towards a great achievement. Ein onam omed al divrei Torah l'kei nichshal bohem. That's what Sipur Yetzis Mitzrayim is all about. The Yisoda Yisodos of the entire Torah is that E efshal laman alav ki im akre ki shalom. We have to struggle and we have to fall and fail. There's a deficiency. We're grasping, we're groping in the dark. But then we get to the ultimate understanding, the glorious conception and perception of Divrei Torah. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim, especially in a very singular way, is all about. To understand that we went through a process of kishalon, of, shall we say, misa, of shvira, of avodah zarah, of avdus. And that itself is going to project us and propel us to amida, to stand up from this falling situation. The mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Sipur has to be fulfilled in a derech of she'ela u'tshuva. There's no other way. We have to start from the darkness, the confusion, the ambiguity, ask our questions, and then the failing and the deficiency will project us to the ultimate geula. It's got to be vayerev, and then afterwards vayivoker. That's the nature of our life now. The promise of Parshas Bechukosai in the divine avtocha of the brachos at the beginning of the parsha is lo tigal nafshi eschem. It's not that Hashem is just avoiding klal over here. No, this is a bracha. What Hashem is telling us is that we won't have to go through a process of chisaron, of ayerev, of choshech before the nahora. That in the ultimate end of time, liosid lavo, time will be of a different nature, of a different essence, and therefore there will no longer be a process of, as the Ramban calls it, magilin esakli beroschin. It'll be only goodness. It'll be only clarity and light. And may we reach that level very, very soon. Tonight is not the night that's dedicated to a very long Maimar Yudches, which is very detailed and complex. However, what I do want to say is that this Maimar begins with a very interesting Gemara in Masechet Ksubis on Daf Ches Amud Beis. You'll see it here quoted. Amar lo, kum ema milsa keneged menachme avelin pasach v'yomer achenu gomlei chasodim b'nei gomlei chasodim hamachzikim v'brisa shal Avraham Avinu. The Gemara establishes that when we get to the mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed, and specifically to Nichum Avelim, to comfort the bereaved, what we're doing is, we are holding on to, we are reflecting the bris of Avraham Avinu. He is the Gomel Chesed par excellence. Rashi and Ksuba says that the bris of Avraham Avinu, kakavonehi li kare vayita eshel. The greatness of Avram is Vayita Eshel. He plants the Eshel in Breishis Chaf Aleph. He's going to pass on the legacy of Vayita Eshel of Gemilus Chasodim. The Gemara in Yevamah says that Klal Yisrael, by their very essence, are Gomlei Chasodim. And there the Gemara wants to illustrate the essence, the spiritual DNA of Klal Yisrael by quoting the Pasuk of Avraham Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha. And there the Pasuk says, Leman Asher Yitzave. I'm sorry, this parsha is Vayera. Leman Asher Yitzave is Bodeves Beso Achrov. Lasso Stoku Mishpat. Did Rashi and Ksuvis forget the Gemara in Yevavis? What is it that Rashi wanted to convey to us with the words Vayita Eshel that we couldn't have understood from the pasuk of Leman Asher Yitzaves Bonov Lasso Stoku Mishpat? That is going to set the framework for Maimer Yudches. We're going to speak about Gemilas Chasodim, and Mitzvah Shem will talk about Nichma Velim, about Bikur Cholim, and tie this to the Rambam, who dedicates a chapter in Hilchas Avel, the 14th chapter, to the laws of Gemilas Chasodim, to understand what Avas Reim is about, to understand the relationship between Bikur Cholim or Nichum Avelim and Avas Reim, to understand what the concept of Zaken Shedel Fichvodo is all about, and V'ahavta L'Reach Kamocha. That's what we want to dedicate ourselves to next week. Please remind me that we also, to the next year, maybe we'll get a chance this week, remind me please to swing back to the Pachat Yitzchak that we skipped, about the difference between Avas Reim and Avas Ager, and the relationship between those two mitzvos. That's what we want to get back. Thank you very much.